We are starting today's daf is Lamed Zayin. We're starting a Lamed Vav Amud Bet. We'll quickly read the Refuah Shlemot. Dvar Badina Ozar Ram Shimon Ben Chana Karmi Ben Ima Orli Pnina Bat Rachel Frida Chaya Malka Esther Bat Zipora Daniel Ben Miriam Chaya Rut. Shelo Refuah Shlema. We're going to start from about 10 lines from the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Bet. We're in the middle of stories about Yosef. We ended off with that Yosef was really supposed to be like Yaakov and have 12 tribes come from him, and instead, because he was almost going to sleep with Potiphar's wife, and he was mitgaber, he got over it, but instead Binyamin got the 10 sons that he was supposed to get, and he only got 2. Okay, so in the end, the 12 weren't lost, but he had to kind of share it with Binyamin. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba.
He would otherwise not have had any.
He would otherwise not have had any what? If what?
Binyamin, if he got Yosef.
That's a good question. So the Mepharshim asked that question. Now there's what? Binyamin wasn't supposed to have any children. How could that be? He only got the 10 of Yosef, right? It's a good question. These kind of questions, you can ask these questions on these dress shows, but they weren't meant to be asked. In other words, they were trying to just show that there was some concept of 12 tribes given to Yosef. But really, they ended up getting split up. That's the concept, okay? That Yosef, again, was he really supposed to have 12 tribes? What does that mean? We would have had 12 tribes of Yaakov and 12 tribes of Yosef. What they're trying to show is that maybe that he was supposed to be the real continuer of Yaakov, or he had the power to do all this, and he kind of lost it because of that. But yet, it wasn't lost entirely, and that's why Binyamin gets it. In other words, it's a way of giving conceptual framework, not necessarily of, you know, really looking at the details.
Yosef
and this is really happening.
Less badly than Yaakov.
We could get into a whole comparison. Okay, we're not going to, right, that's for Parshat Shavuah this week. You can try to, right, it's all in this week's Parsha. So you can look at it, think about it. In the daf, we're going to move on. Okay. Amar b'chiyah bar Abba, Amar b'yochanan. B'sha'a shamar lo paro li Yosef, u'biladecha lo yarim ish et yado. Okay, no one can do anything without going through you. Okay, that's this pasuk that the Paro has absolute and complete trust in him. Amru itzdagnine Paro. So now they're going to darshan this pasuk. So what do you think the itzdagnine, right, the people that, the astrologers of Paro, right, who are always his main people that always get involved. What did they say? Eved shelekacho rabo be'esrim kasef tamshileu aleinu. You're going to put this eved that was sold for 20 pieces of silver, you're going to make him king upon it? Like, we have to all bow down to him? Amar lahem, kunune machut ani ro'ebo. I see he has really like he's got the stuff that takes to make a king. Amrulo im ken yeheyode b'shivim lashon. Okay, here we're referencing the 70 languages that we talked about before. They said if he's so brilliant and he's ready for machut, he should know 70 languages. So what happened? Ba Gabriel v'limdo shivim lashon. By the way, this we didn't do the daf on Shabbos together, but there was a whole thing about how you can't daven if you're a yachid in Aramit because the malachim. You need the malachim to help you get your tefillot, and they don't understand Aramit. So how could it be if Gabriel, right? So there's one thing. They say Gabriel is the only malach who understood Aramit. And you see that from here because he's the one who taught Yosef Shivim Lashon. So now Gabriel immediately teaches him Shivim Lashon so that he can show down the Mitzrim, the Itzdagninim. Lo hava kagamar. The Limdo Shivim Lashon. Lo hava
he couldn't learn.
Right. He couldn't learn them. Okay? He wasn't capable. Hosif lo ot echad mishmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'lamad. Sorry. So then they added, Hashem added this letter, hey, and that gave him the power to learn the Shivim Lashon. How do we get this? From our pasuk from yesterday. Shneemar, edu b'hosif samo, b'tzeito al eretz Mitzrayim, sfat lo yadati eshma. What does that mean, right? The language that I didn't know, right? I heard. I learned. Okay, shama often means learn. That's how they darshan this, right? That there was a safa he didn't know he learned. When did he learn it? When he got the hay added to his name. Okay, and that's b'tzeito al eretz Mitzrayim, when he was going to show his greatness over Mitzrayim, and he didn't know the language, so he got the hay, he learned the language. But the story continues. Ulamachar, kol lishne de'ishte paro v'hadei, any language paro spoke to him in, ahadole, he answered him, ishtai iu b'lashon kodesh. Then Yosef starts speaking to Paro in Lashon HaKodesh. By the way, some of the Freshim say here, you see that the Shivim Lashon doesn't include Lashon HaKodesh. Because Paro knew Shavim Lashon, and he learned the Shavim Lashon. He obviously knew Lashon of Kodesh before. So that the Shavim Lashon, just like the Shavim Umot, right? We have these 70 nations, the 70. We're not part of the 70 nations, according to this understanding, okay? But that's separate. So now he starts speaking to Paro, Lashon of Kodesh. Lo hava kayada. Paro didn't know Lashon of Kodesh. My have, so what happened? My have Amar, what did he say? Amar le egmere. Okay, so now Paro says, please teach me Lashon HaKodesh. Egmere below Gamar. Same thing happened. He tried to teach him, but he couldn't learn it. Now this time, there's no malach who's going to come help Paro learn Lashon HaKodesh. So what happens here? Amar le, ishtabali de lo megalet. Okay, this is like the thing of Paro going to the Ur to make in the morning, right, to urinate because he doesn't want the people to know. There was this, right, there's all these midrashim that Paro had this certain air about him that he didn't want people to know. That's why he goes out to the Ur early in the morning when nobody's looking, and that's when he urinates because he doesn't want people to think he's a real human being. So here also, he doesn't want people to know that he doesn't know something. So he says, swear to me that you won't tell anybody. Okay, we're going to see why this swear becomes important. Ishtabalo. So Yosef swears, I won't tell anybody. Ki amarle. Now, what happens later when Yosef goes to bury Yaakov? Remember, he asked Paro if he can go to Eretz Canaan to bury his father, and Paro doesn't want to let him go. And he says, Avi hishbi'ani lemor. My father made me swear. Okay, here we get to the swearing, right? So he swore to Paro he wouldn't tell anyone about the Shivim Lashon, and now he says, my father made me swear to him. So Amarle, so what does he say, right? We just learned Nidarim and all that. What did we learn? Amarle, zil itchel ashvotech. So go cancel your vow, right? You can cancel your swear, right? You can go ask Sheilat Chacham, get a, you know, so what that you swore? Who cares? You can just repeal the swear. Amarle, if I do that, right? Be itchelinami aditcha. He uses this as weapon, right? What does he say? He says, if I do that, if I'm going to get rid of that trial, I'll get rid of the one about you. Blackmail. The apagav delo nichale, and even though he really didn't want to, amarle, alehu kfor tabicha kasher shbiacha. Okay, and that's why, according to this midrash, Paro let him go in the end, because he had one up on him, okay? He didn't want anyone to know about this. Okay, end of Yosef. This was all to tell us, if you remember, where was Yosef, Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, Beseter, as opposed to Yehuda, who was Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, Befarhesia. And that's why Yehuda got more than Yosef did. So, right, Yehuda, Yosef got one Ot of Hashem in his name, and Yehuda got all the letters of Hashem in his name. So that, Yehuda was greater. So now we talked about the fact that maybe with Yehuda, what we're talking about is Tamar, when he gets up and he says, Sadkami Mani, in public, and says, yes, I did sleep with Tamar. But the Gemara is going to suggest an alternative. Yehuda Maihi, they don't think that that's the one. What did Yehuda do? Detanya Hayara Bimeir Omer, Kishamdu Yisrael Alayam, Hayushvatim Minatchim Zeimze. Okay, we all know the famous midrash about Nachshon jumping into the water, right? What's interesting is, I don't know if you know this midrash, okay? There's going to be two different approaches here, right? The typical one we know we're going to see in another 2 minutes, which is that nobody wanted to go in. Everybody was scared. And Nachshon was the one who jumped in the water, right? That's the big Nachshon. Everybody knows that. This is a good question, by the way. I don't have an answer to. Why, when there's two different versions of the Midrash, and really opposing versions, how does one become very popular and the other one doesn't? Okay? Like the Nachshon one, everybody knows. I'll ask after we read this if anybody ever heard this. When Yisrael were standing on the Yam, ready to go into the water, Hayu Shvatim Minatchim Zeim Zeh, the Shvatim were fighting with each other. What were they fighting about? Zeomer ani yored tchila layam. The Zeomer ani yored tchila layam. Everybody said, oh, I'm jumping in the water first. I'm jumping in the water first. I want to be the first to go, right? You can imagine the scene, right, with your kids, everybody fighting. I want to do this. I want to be the one, right? The exact opposite of the Nachshon Midrash, where nobody wanted to go in. So anybody ever hear this before? No?
No.
Okay. So interesting, right? That this one just kind of never made it, right? And Nachshon, it's possible, by the way, that the rabbis throughout the generations or leaders used certain midrashim to illustrate a point. And maybe they, you know, they wanted to take the Nachshon example as showing that you have to jump in the waters, and that just kind of took hold. But anyway, you could do lots of things with this one, so I don't know why they didn't either. Anyway, Kafat Shivto Shel Binyamin V'Yared LaYam Tchila. So in the end, who just jumps in the water first? They're all fighting, and Binyamin just says, I'm going. And they go right in. Shenemar. Okay, and you hear they're going to darshin. This is in Tehilim Samachet. It says, Sham Binyamin Seir Rodem Sarei Yehuda Rigmatam. Okay, what does this mean literally? The young Binyamin Rodem, he is the ruler. And the Sarei Yehuda are the people that they rule over. Rigmatam means like their dominion. They're in charge of them. Okay, so how do we understand this? Al tikri Rodem, ela Red Yam. Okay, that's they take the word Rodem and they say it was they were the. What's strange about that pasuk? What do you mean? Binyamin is the leader and Yehuda works for, right is the people they're in charge of. Yehuda's always the one who is in charge, right? Has the malchut. So they say it must be that they went. They were the ones who were Red Yam. Vayu Sarei Yehuda Rogbimotam. And what were the Sarei Yehuda doing? Now they take Rigmatam, not to say dominion, but they stone them. Why did they stone them? Because they wanted to be the ones to go into the water first. Shenemar Sarei Yehuda Rigmatam. Lefichach, now what does this have to do? Why do we show that Binyamin did something unique here? Because what do we have to explain? Why did Binyamin get the schud? What was the big schud that Binyamin had? The Beit HaMikdash was in their Nachala, right? The Beit HaMikdash was in Binyamin and Yehuda, but specifically the Kodesh Kodashim was in the part, right? It was right by the border between Binyamin and Yehuda. So it was right where, right? The Kodesh Kodashim is in Binyamin, so they have to explain, what did Binyamin do that they were zochet to get that? L'pichach zacha Binyamin HaTzadik v'na'asa ushbizchan l'gvura. They were the hosts of the Shekhinah. Shene'emar u'ben k'tefav shachen. Right? What does that mean? Right? This is from the bracha in Zot HaBracha of Moshe. Ben k'tefav shachen, that the Shekhinah rests between his shoulders, meaning it's going to be in his nachala. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo kach hayama said, that's not how it happened. But, and now we get to Nachshon's story, Ela, ze omer ein ani yored tchila layam, v'ze omer ein ani yored tchila layam. It was the opposite. Nobody wanted to go in. Kafatz Nachshon ben Aminadab, yarad layam tchila. Okay, he jumps in first. Shenemar, sivavuni b'chachash Ephraim u'bimirma Beit Yisrael. V'Yehuda od red, how do you read this one second? V'Yehuda od rad im el. Okay, that's how it reads. Okay, Yehuda was still rad im el. In other words, this is saying Ephraim and all of Israel were bad. Okay, here's this pasuk. It's from Hosea. And Yehuda was od rad im el. So what does it mean, od rad im el? How do they darshan this? What do they say? Ve'alav mefaresh b'kabbalah, hoshieni asher, right, so there, I think, maybe the Gemara doesn't explain this more, this rad email, but it means that they were yored im Hashem, right, into the water. Ve'alav mefaresh b'kabbalah, and it's said in the ketuvim, okay, that's the Kabbalah here, in Tehillim, hoshieni Elohim ki ba'u mayim ad nafesh, right, save me because I'm underwater. Tavati b'ven mitzula. Ve'ein ma'amad, okay, keeps going. Bati ba'makei ma'em v'shibolet shitafatni. Okay, it's saying, I've gotten into the depths of the water, I'm about to be drowned. Okay? So, al tishtavein shibolet ma'em v'al tibluni mitzula v'chulei. Okay, so that's a reference to Nachshon ben Aminadab, right? That he was down in the water was coming over him, and then all of a sudden it split. Okay. So we have these two opinions. Again, I don't know why the Binyamin story is really not well known and the Nachshon story everybody knows, but that's probably some sort of historical answer to it in terms of what took off and what didn't. Okay, at the same time that this was going on, so again, according to, right, I guess the assumption is we're within this opinion still of that Nachshon jumps into the water. Moshe is sitting there davening, a long davening here. Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yididai tovim bayam, v'ata ma'arich b'tfilah. By the way, what does this sound very much like? Masei yadai tovim bayam, v'atem omrim shira. Do you remember? Right? There was this whole idea that while the Mitzrayim were drowning, we shouldn't be singing. It's, right? We shouldn't be rejoicing. Right? That's why we don't say Hallel, full Hallel, on the last 6 days of Pesach. One of the reasons given, because we don't want to say it on the last day, because we want to a little bit shorten our Hallel, and then it's like lo mechubad to not say it on Chalom, to say a whole Hallel on Chol HaMoed, and on Yantif, the last day, not say a full Hallel. So all 6 days we don't say a full Hallel, other than the first day. So it's the same kind of idea here, but it's different. It's saying everyone's drowning and you're just sitting there davening. There's a great line, right? Because what would you think, right? You're supposed to daven. Hashem's saying, no, act, right? It's the whole premise of the Nachshon Midrash, right? That you got to just go, okay? Don't just sit there praying. So Moshe says, Ribono Shel Olam, Uma Biyadi La'asot. What can I do? So now this explains the pasuk, Amar Lo, just pass me Tanakh for a second. Amar Lo, Daber El Bnei Yisrael V'Yisau, Va'ata Haremet Matcha, V'Neteit Yadcha, etc. Okay, this is in the parsha there in B'Shalach. Okay, well, there's something I noticed interesting about this. I just want to open the Tanakh for a second. It's in Yudalid. Right, so at the beginning of that pasuk is actually more important, okay? They didn't quote the whole pasuk. You have to really read the whole pasuk. What does it say? So first of all, you see the whole description coming up before. So the Mitzrayim are running after them, and the people start complaining to Moshe, what are their nakfarim in Mitzrayim that you brought us here, and what are we doing? And Moshe says, don't worry, you'll see that God will save you, okay? Right, which kind of, right, it ends with Hashem yilachem lachem v'atem tacharishim, right? God will save you. And then, according to the Midrash, what's happening here? Moshe's davening to Hashem, okay? Instead of acting, right? Which almost matches the earlier Pesukim. He's saying, don't worry, a miracle, right? God will come save you. It's the whole attitude, right? What do? Do you just wait for the miracle to happen? Right? That's what this whole Midrash is building on. Now, where do they get that Moshe was davening? It doesn't say that anywhere. But if you look in the next Pesuk in Tefav, it says, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. After Moshe gives the speech to the people, God's going to save us, don't worry. Hashem says to Moshe, Ma titzak elai. Why are you screaming to me? Okay? Which, now, Moshe wasn't screaming to God in the Pesukim. So they're saying that it must be that Moshe was sitting there davening for the miracle to happen. And therefore he says, Watitzak alai, the rest of the Pesuk is, Darbero b'nei Yisrael v'yisau. Now, it's just tell them to go. Va'ata haremet matcha, right? And then you go lead them. Okay? Because really, in the end, the fact that Nachshon jumps in is a slap in the face to Moshe. Right? Moshe is the real leader. He's the one who's supposed to have jumped in. Lefichach zacha Yehuda la'asot memshala b'Yisrael. And that's why, right, and maybe this is why this became so famous, because they're saying that's what made Yehuda worthy of becoming the leader. Because they showed, right, Nachshon showed this leadership power.
The other midrash with Binyamin, it's Shaul comes from Binyamin. So if you always talk about
that's very good.
To have a kingship, so it could
right, that's very good. Okay, I like what you're saying, Donna, which is that the debate here is between who should be the ruler, the Binyamin line from Shaul or the Yehuda line? And maybe that's an explanation
that
is right. So first of all, that's an explanation as to why this one became more popular, because this in the end was the one that won out, clearly. And another option, right, and just to show that the two approaches are kind of are discussing who's the real leader. Actually, I just want to see who says the second. Is it said in anyone's name? Amarlo Rabbi Yehuda. I don't know enough about Rabbi Yehuda. I was thinking if it was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, it would make sense. He comes from Yehuda. But I don't know about Rabbi Yehuda himself. Okay. So now Yehuda becomes the ruler. Shenemar Haita Yehuda Lekadsho Yisrael Mam Shelotav. Now again, they didn't tell you the whole pasuk. What's the end of that pasuk? Or the next pasuk? Hayam Ra'av Vayanos. So now what do they say? Matam haita Yehuda lekadsho v'Yisrael mam shelotav. Why is it that Yehuda became the kadsho, the ruler? And that's what it means here, right? The leader. And Yisrael are his people, right? That he rules over Yisrael. Mishum dehayam ra'av hayanos. Because of what happened at the Kriyat Yamsuf. That's what made him way to be the leader. Okay. Tanya Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov. Okay, now we're having a bright. Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov omer. Okay, now, by the way, we're done. We're finished with this. That was all to explain Yehuda. What did Yehuda do that was Mekadesh Shem Shamayim? Again, you have to question why the Gemara brought this and not something that was more Znut related, which would have also worked very well, since that was our whole thing that we were discussing, really. It's a good question. And again, maybe the Gemara wanted to bring up this whole thing about the rule of Yehuda and establishing that as a definite thing. Anyway, now we're going back to Har Gerizim and Har Eival. We keep going off the track and eventually coming back. So remember now, they had six shvatim at Har Rizim, six shvatim at Har Ebal. Again, we had Levi on top of one of the mountains, but also we had people from Levi in the middle at the bottom. Okay? We talked about that the other day, that Levi was part on top, part on the bottom. We're not sure exactly what part. Was it just the leaders at the bottom or not? But anyway, now we're going to talk about exactly, that's going to be the question here. How do we have, okay, here, Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Eifshar lomar Levi lamata, shekvar ne'amar lamala. In other words, how could Levi be at the bottom if they were listed among the people that were on top of the mountain? Ve'eifshar lomar lamala, and you can't say they were on top of the mountain, shekvar ne'amar lamata. In other words, they can't be in two places at once. So haketzad. So now we're going to explain. So one explanation is, it was the zikkenim of the kuna and levia that were down at the bottom. It was the leaders. And the rest of the people were up at the top. Rabbi Yoshia omer, kol ra'oi l'sharet lamata, v'ashar lamala. Who's ra'oi l'sharet? Leviim worked from what ages, do you remember? From age 30 to age 50. So because of that, they're saying, anyone who was age 30 to 50 was down at the bottom working. And anyone else, who were the women, the children, and anyone, you know, under or above that age, was up on top. Rebbe Omer, Elu ve'elu lemata, everyone was down at the bottom. But lemata heim omdim, everyone was standing at the bottom. Hapchu pnehem klapei hargrizim upatchu bebracha. Klapei hareval upatchu beklala. In other words, they would turn their face, right? When they would say the bracha, they turn toward Har Ebal, and when they'd say the klala, they turn toward, klaper is the opposite. They would turn toward, right, they would turn to Har Grizim, upatru bibracha. You know how you remember Har Ebal as the klala? Because Ebal is like evil. That's a good way to remember. Then they would turn toward Har Ebal and patru biklala. I think I actually saw once that there was some etymological connection between them, I think, but I'm not sure if that's true. My al. Okay, so now, what do you mean? It says they were on the mountain. So what could it be? How could it be that they're not on the mountain? So they say, al means bisamuch. Al means next to, and not necessarily on top of. How do we know this? Kidetanya v'natata al ha-ma'arechet levona zakat. This is by the Lechem HaPanim. They would put the frankincense on, so here it says on the ma'arechet, like on the table where the bread was. So now they say, clearly they didn't put it on, I think it means on the bread itself. Clearly they didn't put it on top of the bread. Rebbe Omer al b'samuch, they put it next to it. Okay? Ata Omer al b'samuch, ho'enu el al mamash, right? We've seen this structure a lot where they say something and then they question it. How do you know that al is b'samuch and it doesn't really mean on top? Keshu Omer b'sakota al ha'aron. This is the parochet. You put on the aron. Now the parochet was a divider that went in front of the aron. It wasn't on top of the aron. Okay? And therefore you see that there al could be besamuch. So therefore also here al is besamuch. Habeomer al besamuch. So that's why they show that even though it says they were on the mountain, it doesn't necessarily mean they were on the mountain, they could have been next to the mountain. Okay. Continuing on. Hapchu pnehem klapei hargrizim upatchu bebracha. This is what we just said now. So we're going to go back on this. Now we're going to talk about how they did the brachot and the klalot. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, I want you to look at the psukim for a minute, okay? If you open the Tanachim to Dvarim Kaf Zayin. Okay. So if you look in Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says, Vayitzav Moshe et ha'am bayomahu le'mor. Ele yamdu levarech. Okay, we read these already, right? These people will do it on Har Grizim. These people will do it on Har Ebal. Va'anu ha'leviim va'amru al kol ish Yisrael koram. And then the Leviim are going to answer and say to everybody out loud, Arur ha'ish asher yaseh pesel masecha tu'avat Hashem ma'aseh yidei charash b'sam b'secher v'anu kol ha'am v'amru amen. Okay, right, curses the man who puts up a pesel masecha, okay, etc. Okay, then we have a whole list. Arur makla vivimo, arur masi gvul, arur mashke iver, baderech. Okay, all sorts of klalot. There's 12 of them all together. The last of the 12 is arur shelo yakimi divrei ha'torah azot la'asot otam, which is a very general one, right? All the other ones are specific to specific things, okay? This one is a general one. So there's 12 altogether, 11 general specific ones, and one general one at the end. So now they're going to actually say that it's not didn't work exactly the way you read it here. Tana Rabbanan, Baruch Bichlal, Baruch Bifrat. Arur Bichlal, Arur Bifrat. Okay, the first thing they're going to say in this Braita is, Every bracha and klala, every topic, let's say, of these 12 topics, everything was said with a general and with a specific. And everything was said doubly as a bracha and as a klala, and as baruch if you do this, and arura if you don't do it, or vice versa, right? Depending on what it is, if it's a negative or a positive commandment, right? So arura asher yaseh pesel masecha, so baruch asher lo yaseh pesel masecha. Okay? If you don't build idols. So now, there's a machloket about exactly how to understand this, but it sounds like the pshat is, with everyone, they said either, it sounds like they said before it, arura asher lo yakim et divrei haTorah hazot. You understand? So everyone got the general title and then the specific in the bracha form and in the klala form. Okay? That's how it worked. So now we're going to see, right? There were a lot more than just the 12 here. There were really, it's kind of said 48 times according to this. Okay? And not only that, but lomod ulilameid lishmor velasot. Okay? So everything got, right? Every one topic, right, was said in bracha Klali, bracha prati, okay? Then it was said in klala klali and klala prati. Okay, you see that? Now within each thing of these four things, okay, it was also said, lomod, to learn, lilamed, to teach, lishmor, to keep, and laso, to do. Now, the Shmor and Lasso usually mean lo tase and ase. Now, here it can't possibly be that each one was given as a lo tase and an ase, because either it's a lo tase or it's an ase. So, the Mefreshim basically say that Lishmor, the Lasso, Lishmor is to repeat it, to lishanen, like to learn it, like the Mishnah, like to repeat it and learn it more. Okay, so to learn, to teach, to repeat it, and to do it. Okay, so within each four of these things, there's another four of four aspects of it. Okay, so hare, now we're going to do some math. Arba, arba, the arba, hare shmone. Okay? Sorry, first they say hare arba. So there's four things. Lomod, lame, lishmor, lasso. That's four, hare arba. So then arba, the arba, hare shmone. Okay, so now you have the four, sure I get this straight, right? The four of the lishmor, lasso, and the, right? This is how they do it. The bracha and the klala, right? There's four. There's two sets. There's bracha klali and bracha prati. There's klala klali, klala prati. On all those things, there's going to be lishmor, lamod, okay, lasa, lamod ulilamed. So that's already eight. In other words, you get each of these, lamod ulilamed, so that's eight. Everything's doubled. Okay? Now, then another, hare shmone ushmone, hare shesh esrei. And then you're going to do each of them, lishmor velaso. So that's another eight, so you're going to get to 16. So every topic had 16 aspects to it, because each of these was times four. Okay, right? That makes sense? No, each of these was times, yeah, times four, right. So in the end, it's four times four, 16. No, I did that wrong. Why is
that? No, adding them up.
Right, you just add them up. That's why. I was multiplying. Right. Each one is four, right. Four plus four, you get 16. So now we're going to get to the multiplication. Okay, now, so with every topic here, it was done 16 times. Okay, there were 16 aspects of it. This whole tekes of the brachot and the klalot, now we're going to learn, were actually done three times. Okay? V'chein b'Sinai, v'chein b'arvot Moav. Not just were they done in Har Gerizim and Har Ebal, but they were also done at Sinai, and they were also done at Arvot Moav. So times this whole thing by three, get to 48. Okay? Follow? So now, how do we know it was done at Sinai and Arvot Moav? Shenemar, Eilu divrei habrit asher tziva Hashem et Moshe, Uchtiv ushmartem et divrei habrit hazot. Okay, so first it says in the beginning, right? It says at the end of Dvarim, it says these are the divrei habrit that Moshe was korei be'eretz Moab, and it says in the pasuk milvad habrit asher karati tam b'chorev. Okay, what they're basically saying is that the ma'amad of Har Gerizim and Har Ebal was like being korei to brit with Hashem. Yeah, when else were they korei to brit? Moshe did it at Arvot Moab, and it says there that in addition to the one that he did at Chorev, okay? And then the second pasuk they said, they're quoting, is there it says, Ushmartem tivrei habrit hazot vasitem otam. Okay, and you should keep to this brit. Nimtza, what do they say? Arba'im ushmone britot al kol mitzvah u'mitzvah. So each mitzvah here times 48 times, okay? There was nichrat 48 times. Rabbi Shimon, okay, this is one approach. Rabbi Shimon, motzi har grizim v'har eval. He says, no, there was no brit at har grizim and har eval. U'machnis ol mo'ed shabamidbar. He says the third time was ol mo'ed in the desert. U'beplugta dahane t'nai. And this is what their machloket is based on. Titania, Rabbi Shmuel omer, klalot ne'amru b'sinai, u'pratot ba'ol mo'ed. Rabbi Akiva omer, klalot u'pratot ne'amru b'sinai, v'nishnu ba'ol mo'ed, v'nishtalshu ba'arvo mo'av. Okay, what does this mean? There's a big argument between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, a very basic argument as to what happened in Har Sinai. Were they given just klali, generalizations, general topics, or were they given all the details at Sinai? So if you say they were given all the details at Sinai, then you can say that Chorev, right, that they got the brit at Har Sinai. But if you don't say that, but he was Motsi Har Grisim, he wasn't Motsi, one second. Something doesn't make sense here because he doesn't say he was Motsi Sinai, right? That's what you would think it would say. So one second. He was... I see. According to Rabbi Ishmael, Sinai and Ol Moed were one unit. That's how they view it. That Sinai and Ol Moed were together one unit because they didn't get everything at Har Sinai. And therefore, when it says Bechorev, it means Bechorev together with Ol Moed. And therefore, Ol Moed is not listed as a separate unit here, okay? Ol Moed is just part of the Sinai, okay? When we say Bechem B'Sinai, that means what we got at Sinai and was finished up at Ol Moed. What's Ol Moed, by the way? That's on the day the Mishkan was hukam, on the first of Iyar, right? So, on the first of Nisan, right? It was the second year, right? The first month of the second year, the first of Nisan. So it was 10 months later, basically. But if you're Rabbi Yishmael, then you say the Klalot Nemru B'Sinai Pratop Ol Moed, and therefore that's all one brit together. And therefore you wouldn't list it separately. But Rabbi Shimon, who takes that Har Grizim and Har Eval and puts in Ol Moed, he follows Rabbi Akiva, who said that the Klalot Uprato Nemru B'Sinai V'Nishnu Ba'Ol Moed V'Nishtalshu Ba'Arvot Moav. So there are your three. You have Sinai, Ol Moed, and Arvot Moav. Ve'ein lecha kol davar mitzvah u'mitzvah shektuvah b'Torah shelo nechritu aleha 48 britot. Right? So according to this, every single mitzvah had 48 britot connected with it. Okay? Covenants. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kvar ako amar. Okay? If you think that's a lot, okay, just wait till you hear this one. Mishum Rabbi Shimon, he says the name of Rabbi Shimon, ein lecha mitzvah u'mitzvah shektuvah b'Torah shelo nechritu aleha 48 britot shel 600,000 u'3,000 v'50. And it says every brit was a brit of you know, everybody did a brit on every mitzvah multiplied by the number of people that there were. Okay, right? That's the number of the Shishim Ribo, okay? It's the exact number of, you know, a little more than Shishim Ribo. Okay, 600,000. 600, thank you. 603,550. Okay? So he says that everyone did a brit there, okay? And his understanding is, right. What he's saying is everyone did a brit of arivut for their friend. Okay? In other words, you had to take a brit saying, I'm taking a brit for my friend. Okay? This concept of everyone is arev zelazeh. So now, if you think this is a lot, just wait. I'm a Rebbe, ula divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kvar ako, according to the guy who just said, shamar mishum Rabbi Shimon, you misunderstood it. It's ein lecha kol mitzvah mitzvah b'Torah, shelo nechritu ala 48 britot shel 600,000 v'3,550. Nimtza lechol echa ve'echa miYisrael, 603,550. What did they say? Okay, we're going to explain this in a minute. My Benai, what's the difference between his interpretation and the first one? Amar Masharshia, Arva va'arva da'arva. Everyone was arrayed for everybody. You were an Arei Ephraim who was an Arei Ephraim who was an Arei Ephraim. So you basically had to, you made a brit. It was, okay, the math is 48 times, right, times the 603,550 times every single person. Okay, and you did it for one, and then that then multiplied it by another 603,550. Okay, I didn't do the math, but that's the mathematical equation. You'll get to a lot. Okay, what's the idea here? Right, it's a little reminiscent, by the way, of the Shlosh Esrei Britot of the, right, the Nichritu of the Brit Milah. There were 13 times where Brit is mentioned. They're taking this theme of Brit and basically saying that there were a lot of covenants. I think it's just trying to strengthen the, right, it's obviously using a very, very, certainly by the end, a very exaggerated method here of trying to say that the Torah was very firmly accepted by the Jewish people, right? Okay, why you have to go so far as to do that, I don't know exactly why they're getting into, you know, exaggerated numbers. But that's what's underlying what's going on here. Okay, now we're going to talk about these brachot and klalot. Darash Rabbi Yehuda ben Nachmani miturgamanei de Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Okay, he explained this from the in the name of the Torgaman of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Kol ha-parsha kula lo ne'emra ela b'no'ef v'no'efet. Okay, this makes very much sense in Sota, right? All these 12 curses are really all about, they have to do with the no'ef v'no'efet. Arura ish asher yaseh pesel u'masecha. So how do we get from Pesel u'Masecha to No'ef v'No'efet, and why are we going to assume that that's the case? But Arur Sagela, is Arur enough for someone who worships Avodah Zarah? Like, Arur is not enough for a person like that, because we've learned that someone who worships Avodah Zarah, ain lo chelek afilu l'olam haba, that's what the Mefarshim explain here. So therefore, it can't be that. It wouldn't make sense that it would just be an Arur. It's not enough. Ela, so they understand, Zeh habal ha'erva, v'holid bein, v'halach l'bein of dei kochavim, v'avad avodat kochavim. Okay? Aruri navi b'imo shel zeh, shekach garmulo. What it's really saying in the brachot and klalot are, cursed are the parents who sleep with someone they shouldn't be sleeping with, because in the end, what are they going to do? They're going to cause their child to be a mamzer, in which case they're going to end up hanging out with avdei kochavim, because there's no one, they have no one in the Jewish community to basically hang with. And they're going to then worship Avodah Zarah. So obviously the person who worships Avodah Zarah is cursed on it. You know, it has much worse than just a curse. But this is No'ef, right? The No'ef and No'ef caused this, and they're the ones being cursed. Tana Rabbanan. V'natata et ha-bracha al ha-grisim ve'et ha-klala v'chulei. Ma Talmud lomar? Why is this, what is this telling you? Im l'lameh ch'tei bracha al ha-grisim u'klala ha-reval ha-rei kfar ne'emar. Eli yamdu l'varech etam al ha-grisim. Uchtiv ve'eli yamdu ala klala v'ha-reval. So it can't possibly mean, right? In other words, there's a repetition in the Pesukim here, okay? In the issue is, the first Pesuk they're quoting is in Dvarim Yud Aleph, much, much earlier, okay? And it's saying, when you get into the land, you're going to give the bracha and hargrizim, the kalar and haripal. And they're saying, it doesn't make any sense, because why would he be saying it there if it all appears in Dvarim Kafzayin and it's all explained there? Now, obviously, from a Pesha perspective, right, we always mention things that come up later. It's not such a crazy thing, but what they're going to say is that what does it mean there? Why are they saying it, that you're going to give the bracha and hargisim the klal harival? Lagdim bracha leklala. They want to tell you the order here, that you're going to give the bracha before you give the klala. Okay, we're getting into how exactly these things were said. Yachol yuhu kol ha-brachot kodmot leklalot. Kamud lomar. You might have thought all the brachot come before all the klalot. Like, first you read all the brachot and then you do the klalot. Tamud lomar, bracha uklala. It says, "Menatata et ha-bracha." It doesn't say in plural, right? It's another strange thing about the pasuk. You're going to give the bracha and the klala. What does it mean, the bracha and the klala? It's singular. It should be the brachot and the klalot. So what they're saying is they're trying to tell you, in Dvarim Yud Aleph, it's telling you the order. Brachot come before klalot. So you might think, okay, well, let's list all the brachot and then all the klalot. So bracha and klala comes to tell you first bracha, then klala, then bracha, then klala, then bracha, then klala. Ve'ein kol ha-brachot kodmot leklala, right? You don't say all the brachot before the klala. And what else is it doing? This bracha leklala. U'lahakish bracha leklala, lomar lecha. Ma klala b'levim. Now, if you notice, I didn't really get into this, but if you notice in the psukim I read to you, it only lists the klalot. It doesn't list the brachot there in Dvarim. It's very strange, right? It says, v'anu ha-levim v'amru kol ish Yisrael kol ram, Arur ha'ish asher yaseh v'chulein. Everyone says amen. Arur, the person who does this. Everyone says amen. Arur this. Right? Doesn't say the brachot. So now they say, just like the klala said by the levim that we know from the pasuk, also, so just like the klala is ma klala b'levim af bracha b'levim. some other things. Ma klala b'kol ram, just like you shout the klalot out loud, af bracha b'kol ram, you also say the bracha b'kol ram, which is a little different than we said. Remember, we learned from this kol ram that you say bad things out loud, but you don't necessarily say good things out loud. So here it says you also say the good things out loud, the brachot. Ma klala b'lashon ha-kodesh, right? We said va'anu va'amru, that taught us it was lashon ha-kodesh. Mm-hmm. So again, this was only said for the klalot. Therefore, we learned also af le bracha b'lashon ha-kodesh. Ma klala b'klalu prat, just like at the end, there's this klali klala at the end, there's this general one. Af bracha b'klalu prat. Ma klala elu ve'elu onim v'omrim amen, just like they answered amen. Right now, this is interesting, right? You would think if you're on the Har Grizim, then you're supposed to answer amen for the brachot, and if you're on Har Eval, you're supposed to answer amen for the klalot. But no. Amru kola am amen, right? Even if you're standing on the mountain where the right, remember, what's the issue that the brachot are on one mountain and the klalot are on the other, right? The Levim would face that mountain when they said the brachot toward Har Grizim, and they'd face Har Eval when they said the klalot. So now they say, even if you're not the one being faced, everyone answers amen for the klalot, and therefore, af brachot, elu ve'elu onim v'omrim amen. Everyone also answers amen for the brachot. Okay, we'll start up with the new mission tomorrow. Finally finish with the whole section of the brachot and klalot, the Har Grizim, Har Eval, getting into the land. And we're going to start with Berkat Kohanim. Remember, because we talked about Berkat Kohanim was another one of those things, has to be said b'lashon ha-kodesh.